So let us begin looking at you, Richard. You have one of the most amazing graphs of energy that it has been my privilege to read in some time of doing this work. When we look at energy, we begin by looking at what we call the expression. The expression consists of the first name, the second name, and the family name that you received at birth. So at the very beginning of life, when you came in, you selected an expression or a form that resonated to the frequency of a five. Now, what that frequency has as its base is what's called the constructive use of freedom. You have always desired to be free. Free not so much of burdensome pressure, but free to be the spirit that you want to be, the person that you knew in your soul you were meant to be. Energetically, you present to the world as an enthusiastic person who is very adaptable to circumstances. You have a certain amount of progressive energy. You look constantly to see the new and better way to do something. There's an aspect of you that loves change. Now, there are other aspects of you as well. So you have to realize that this is just one small portion of you that loves change, loves travel to unusual places, can be a delightful companion, someone who is truly a pleasure to be around because of your vast interests. That energy is also accompanied by an inner energy of restlessness. There is sometimes the vibration within the self of, am I doing enough? Am I getting far enough along in all the things that I need to do? There is a component of a little bit of impatience. There can sometimes be an erratic quality to the energy, a scatteredness, especially when you're not coming out of the heart chakra or you are not centered or balanced. While you can work very well within routine, you dislike it when it becomes monotonous. And so the great challenge is to be able to do the things that have to be done and not have them become monotonous, because when they do, they become very difficult for the self to accept and do. There are times when the energies are so scattered. And this may not be you now, but certainly in your earlier years, as you were finding yourself, as you were growing into who you are, there may have been tendencies to try and run away from the blueprint of energy because it is such a high blueprint and requiring of so much discipline and self-sacrifice in some ways in order to accomplish the objectives. So you might have escaped through any number of sensual pleasure activities, whether they are sexual or drink or food or drugs or music. It doesn't matter. It was just that you had to find a form of escape so that you could manage the energy that you were actually sending forth into reality. You're very quick in thought and action, and so it's difficult for you at times to be around people who don't get it quite as quickly as you do. You have to really manage your energy to ensure that you are not offending those around you, because it's not your intention to offend. You're very curious about life on every level. You want to understand life, the good and the bad, but mostly the good. That is really what pulls your interest. You want to know what's going on, not because you are a nosy person, but because you know that knowledge is power. And so you understand that seeking knowledge gives you a place of harmony and balance from which you can live a comfortable life. At times you can be very impatient, especially if you feel compelled to do the same thing over and over and over again. That means that you compensate for that by sometimes putting a few too many irons in the fire. You try to do too many things at once. And so this is an aspect of energy where you've got to kind of take a break of activity and say, okay, what's the most important thing? Or what's the thing I really want to do right now? Not necessarily the most important thing, but the thing that you can do with some degree of pleasure, joy, and happiness. Sometimes you, of course, will have to do things that you just have to do, because that's life. But you need to learn how to balance those things so that the pleasure as well as the routines each have their place and they don't overwhelm you. Now, what is interesting about your life is, I'm sure you've heard the expression, at sixes and sevens, which typically means at odds with each other. Well, your energies aren't sixes and sevens. Your energies are fours and fives. And that creates the same kind of tension within the individual. You are born on what is called the master builder frequency. Your path through life is what is the number 22, which is a very, very high frequency. That means that you are capable of rising to the top of anything that you set your mind to. There's an aspect of you that's very practical, very unorthodox, very perceptive. You tend to operate on a different wavelength than those around you. You can be quite charismatic when you decide that you need to pull out all the stops to get something accomplished. That energy carries with it an underlying nervous tension. Until you get to the place in a project or whatever it is that you're doing where you can see the end in sight, there's a lot of nervous tension that is associated with whatever it is that you are attempting to do. You also sometimes, because, and this would be in your younger years, as you were learning these energies, there may have been a selfishness in you where you felt you had to block off energies that were distracting you from what it is that you needed to do. And so this shutting out of energy around you may have been perceived as selfish by those who couldn't fully understand what it is that you were really attempting to do. Because of this four energy, you are fundamentally a hard worker. You can organize things, you can manage things, you can carry out ideas for others very easily. There's an aspect of you that's very steady, very sure. You're capable of very deep concentration. You can be very serious-minded, very, very capable, very tenacious in pursuing your goals, and quite stubborn against opposition whenever you ran into opposition, especially opposition that wouldn't really understand or listen well enough to understand what it is that you are saying to them. Now, there is a problem in having energies what are called amplified. Just as with a radio, if you turn up the volume too loudly, it creates a distortion in the sound. Well, you have what is called your birthday, which is on the 22nd of October, and you have a path of life, which is also the number 22. So when you have numbers amplified in the way that that number is amplified in your blueprint, you sometimes enter into what is called traumatic overload. And the period where you would have experienced traumatic overload started around the age of 24, and it runs all the way through to the age of 59. But obviously, as each decade goes by, you get more and more and more of a handle on the energy. So it doesn't overweight you to quite the same degree it did in your earlier years. And this would be especially around the time of your early 30s that you would have entered into what could be considered major overwhelm. Now, when you experience this overwhelmed feeling inside of you, you experience what is called intensified nervous tension due to the awareness of all of the talents that you have, the enormity of your potential, but yet the seeming inability to use these talents at the desired very high level at which you want to express yourself. So what then begins to happen is much confusion starts to enter into the blueprint, because inside of yourself, you know certain things, whereas external to what's going on inside of you is all this chaotic, crazy energy that you're not exactly sure how to put it in all the different little proper slots where it works for you and it doesn't overwhelm you. So during those early years, especially 20s to mid-30s, there would have been much confusion. And this would have worked itself out probably until you hit your early 40s, when things would have really come to a head for you. And so you had to really then begin to step away from everything and reorganize yourself so that you could move in a more positive direction. So that is really now the aspect of you that is birthed through the date that you came into existence, October 22, 1952. Now, turning away from that very powerful, powerful blueprint of energy, back to the aspects of you that are formed through your name, Richard Ian Pressa. We look at your spiritual urge or your soul, and we look at your personality. Now, your soul is comprised of the vowels in your name, and the personality is made up of the consonants in your name. Your spiritual urge or soul is a three. So now we begin to see someone who is a very hard worker. Are you there?
Yep.
Except now you have a soul that wants to be very, very optimistic, enthusiastic, friendly, affectionate. You have a love of living, a joy of living, a joie de vivre that is in your soul that bubbles up from inside of you. You're very, very affectionate in that inner soul part of you, social, cheerful, happy. A number of the energies that are not the big weighted energies that are associated with your date of birth. As a matter of fact, they're very contrary energies. They're ebullient energies. They're happy energies. These energies, of course, can lead to a little bit of guilt because they tend to make you somewhat easygoing. So you have now the pressure of living up to a path of light where there is a certain amount of work that is going to be required of you to fulfill your potential. And yet you have a soul that's really happy, really just wants to enjoy life and be free in each moment and to experience things. So the soul may attract you to certain energies that may prove quite distracting in terms of your overall path of life, and that might prove mechanisms to pull you away from the things that you should be focused on instead of pulling you toward the things that you should be focused on. Now, the personality, which is the aspect of you that is shown more to the world than, say, the soul aspect. Soul aspect would be more familiar to someone who you might marry. But the personality would be seen by pretty much everyone who knows you on any level of meaningfulness. What they see is your great desire to serve humanity and to bring reconciliation and peace to the world. Now, this aspect of you would not have been strong when you were young. It would start to become more and more parent, as you grew older and as you looked around you and you saw the world and you saw the suffering in the world and you saw all of the different disconnects that were in the world all around you, the soul of you is compassionate. And so this would have touched you deeply. And so basically what you now are seeing through your persona or the mask or the lens that is the God presence in you is this awareness that you must not forget the human touch. You must not forget to be the idealist and to believe in the best that humanity is capable of. Now, you could become fanatical for certain of your causes and then create some hurt feelings in those closest to you in your effort to make a better world. You almost shut out the ones closer to you and you focus on the bigger picture, the whole of humanity, while you shut out those that love you. And so that would, of course, create a great tension in your life and in your world. It's not because you didn't love them. It's because you couldn't love them exactly the way that they needed you to love them. Not because you didn't want to, but because of this driving passion force inside of you that made you always want to seek the humanity as a whole, the group mind, the great creator frequency that is all of it, not just the subset that is your genetics, your DNA. This energy, as you grew older, you found that it was best if you allowed it to work subtly, behind the scenes, to accomplish your objectives. The more that you repressed or suppressed your basic love for humanity as a whole and started practicing being a considerate person, then you began to see the benefits of this level of energy, because instead of it working against you, it starts to work for you and with you. And so you begin to recognize that you can attain certain successes through being more diplomatic, not just being dogmatic, but diplomatic. Not forcing issues coercively, especially on those around you. You have a naturally gregarious nature, and when you're not weighted down by the weight of the world, you can be very ebullient and uplifting to be around and quite happy. And so therefore you show a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde nature, where there is one nature of you that is taciturn, withdrawn, reserved, quiet, private, and then there's this other side of you that's adaptable, easygoing, friendly, cheerful, happy, laughter, everything that is ebullient and fun. So figuring out which one of you is going to wake up in each particular day became the challenge of those who lived with you and love you. Is this making sense to you? Okay, very good. Now, you do desire to establish harmony wherever you are. So now we have a situation where we have been discussing the multiple facets of your nature, but you must remember that this nature is now being formed in an environment. And you, unfortunately, with the numbers that you were given and the vibrations that you had to anchor in to become the person that you are, you encountered considerable pettiness and criticism when you were a young person. And this criticism made you unusually sensitive to any areas of tension and disagreement. Now, this criticism was very hard on you because you have a very tender, sensitive nature, a very loving soul. And the criticism may have hit in very sensitive areas of your being in a way that made you not want to fulfill some of the requirements that those that were you're in parental roles around you were placing on you. And so you had to Once again, try and get to that balanced place inside of you where you understood the good of everything that was being asked of you by those who were your caregivers, and at the same time, not lose yourself in the critical energies that sometimes seem to flare up all around you. It was a criticism without much understanding of your basic nature or who you are. Now, who is this basic person? Who is this person that came in? Well, the person that came in has a opening letter of your given name is an R, which is a 9 frequency, which makes you what is called a selfless humanitarian, someone who fundamentally wants to be very tolerant, very helpful, very idealistic. And yet, when those gentler aspects of your energy were brought forward, sometimes you were taken advantage of. People emotionally manipulated you, and you had to figure out the balance point between being a tolerant person, being a helpful person, and not having people turn you into a doormat. And it was finding that balance point that was one of the great challenges of your youth. The good news is, you were a self, or you are a self-starter. As long as the energy isn't chaotic, as long as you have a little bit of control over the energy and you can focus in on the area where you want to apply yourself, you're a marvelous energy at getting things accomplished, getting them done. You do very, very well if you can set forth a plan of action and follow it. You don't have any difficulty getting to that first step the way that other people do. And so where you do run into a bit of difficulty sometimes is once you've gotten it started, because of that 5 energy and the ability to want to do so many things at the same time, you sometimes get distracted from what it is that you need to be focused on and not give enough energy to keep certain projects moving forward as well as they should have been. But that, of course, you bring into balance as you grow older. The 9 that is inside of you is divided into 2 types of humanitarianism. There is the selfless humanitarian who is willing to sacrifice himself even for the sake of the great dreams that reside within him. And then there is the emotional humanitarian, who is a very giving, loving, quietly sympathetic, sensitive person, who is often willing to sacrifice for others, who is willing to step aside so that others can get an opportunity. This particular aspect of you flows from the ideals that you brought in when you incarnated, because idealistically you saw that the world would benefit from more open-heartedness, not closed-heartedness. And so you, whenever you were able to find your boundaries and find your balance points, that's the area where your heart energy would flow most easily, most directly, was through selfless compassion and appreciation of all that is in expression everywhere around you, in nature, in life, in your children, in your family, in your countrymen, in races that are not your own, in just the light of God that exists within each and every person. That is really what would drive you to find yourself in a universal knowledge of God, all that is, and all the people that are around you, and how best you might help them, and how best you might improve circumstances, not just for yourself, but for humanity as a whole. In your table of intensities, this drive for universal knowledge and this all-encompassing love that is at the center of your being creates a strong creative capability in you. The more that you give in to your humanitarian impulses, the more you begin to experience a pleasure in living the life of who you are, the more happy you become expressing who you are, the more at ease you become in being who you are. And literally, the more easy it is for you to do your own thing and for you to find your own place of self-expression. Because in a strange and wonderful way, the more loving and giving and compassionate and open-hearted you are, the more you find ways that give you pleasure and that satisfy you in sharing yourself with humanity. Your maturity number, or the number that represents who you are as you grow older, it kicks in at around the age of 50, is a desire for philanthropy shown in service to mankind through a personal realization of universal kinship with everyone. This philanthropy doesn't necessarily only flow in the form of money. It is a philanthropy of spirit, a willingness to let everybody grow and thrive and mature at their own pace. This is not something that you were capable of when you were younger. But as you have grown older, you have begun to realize that people are like fruit on trees. They have different cycles in which they ripen. And if you want to pick the fruit at its very best, you've got to give it the chance to become who it is meant to be. You can't force it to grow before its time, as was done to you. So it is almost as if you have learned to correct the errors that were made in you through your willingness now to allow others to mature in their own time cycle. This didn't happen when you were younger. This is more a realization that would have happened from the late 40s up to now who you are. Might have started in the late 30s if you were very advanced, but not likely before then. Now, what gave you the energy to push and to move forward despite all the odds and the difficulties that you encountered? And you encountered a great deal of difficulty in your life. Your life has not been a gravy train by any stretch of the imagination. The reason, or the aspect of energy that has given you the courage and the ability to become this person that you are in this moment, are all of the number ones, which are numbers associated with self, that are in you, and you have quite a few of them. What the number one stands for is unity, creation, independence, and leadership. Now, on the emotional plane, believe it or not, you have the number one. And that means that you were very changeable, very quickly adaptive. When you saw energies weren't going to work out for you in one direction, you could spin on a dime and change and move into another direction. The problem was sometimes you started spinning like a top and you couldn't figure out which of the multiple directions of energy that you could go in would give you the greatest sense of satisfaction. But nonetheless, you encountered change. You did it through very great originality. You saw that the answer to many of the questions that were popping into your life was the original solution, not the common solution. So you would go inside of yourself to look for the solution, not initially, but as you grew older, you learned that you had to turn within for the solution. This made it a little difficult for your family and your members because they again felt shut out, because the more you turned inside of yourself and the answers, the more you tended to shut out the individuals that were all around you. And that created great pain and turmoil, not just for them, but for you as well. There was considerable suffering involved in that because, of course, you are also a nervous energy and quite high-strung. And you may have also made too many demands in love and marriage unintentionally. And by the time you figured out that you were making too many demands, it may have been a little too late in some instances to shift the energy appropriately. So again, there would have been a little bit of suffering while you learned not to make certain types of demands and recognized that it was better if you gave in to what was being asked of you rather than demand some things that others were not able to give to you. Again, this isn't anybody's fault. It's just the way it was. The cycle in your early years when you were growing up with your family was to teach you how to be independent. You had to learn how to be independent, how to be a leader, how to be original. But this was sensed instinctively because there may have been difficulty in expressing these kinds of leadership, independence, qualities in the environment into which you were born. Because in order for the self to grow strong, oftentimes it's placed in an environment where it feels very repressed, an environment that tends to breed anxiety and a sense of intimidation inside of the energy of the young being. So it's almost an energy that discourages originality and or provides very little recognition for the efforts and the achievements of this growing entity. So that throws the person back on themselves. At some point in time, they have to realize that they cannot just look outside of themselves for appreciation and or understanding, that they have to love themselves well enough to be okay with being misunderstood and to find the area in the self where it sees that it is loved, that it is cared for, that it is valued, and to proceed from that place and to let go of a lot of the hurts and the pains that were unintentionally, some were intentional, but many were unintentionally caused in you, in your formative years. This was very huge for you. But as an individual on a path of great growth and self-awareness and self-understanding, it was known that you would grow to the place in yourself where you could forgive those who hurt and harmed you as you became who you are. Your life challenge has been individuation, becoming an individual. Your challenge has been to overcome the feeling of being held down or dominated by others who held a strong influence over you because you were so loving. I could have been a parental person, could have been an authoritarian figure in school environment, in a church environment, any number of areas where individuals held strong influence over you. You had to learn how to break away and find your own autonomy. You may have felt your desires weren't being met. Because a part of that was that you yourself were learning yourself and you didn't really, really, truly know what you wanted. What you did know is what you were getting is not what you wanted. But insofar as knowing what you wanted, you weren't so clear. And you also had a feeling of having real fundamental needs inside of you being opposed by those who had a caretaking role in your life, struggling against them in order to become the man that you were meant to be. One way that you may have tried to solve the problem was to try and please everybody, so that you would feel less restricted. So instead of being your authentic self, you put on a bit of a mask and tried to please everyone. And of course, when that didn't work, then you were really angry and hurt, because you can only repress who you really are for so long, and then it's going to bubble to the surface. It's inevitable. It's like trying to hold in a volcano. You can't do it. There was an aspect of your energy, of course, that was very self-centered, one in which your own needs and interests must be satisfied because of the challenges of the environment in which you found yourself. You may have, in your early age years, realized that you needed to be inflexible and not terribly adaptable, because if you were too flexible and too adaptable, you'd never become who you wanted to become. So there may have been a little bit of lack of flexibility in you and a lack of adaptability. And when the energies were very, very chaotic, that's, of course, when the inflexibility and the lack of adaptability would become most strident. And at those times, in order, and this is just you trying to get a handle on everything, it's not you trying to go out there and manipulate the world, but in order for you to get a handle on everything, there was a tendency to try and control things and to dominate things, which of course then offended the very ones that you needed to least offend. And those are the ones that unfortunately would get caught up in it, because you only are going to control and dominate where you are comfortable that you are loved. You're not going to try and necessarily do it where you're not sure that you are loved. And so, of course, that's going to go over like a ton of bricks. People don't want to be controlled and dominated, and you yourself don't want to be controlled and dominated. So that particular strategy did not work very well, and so at some point in time you let go of it. The positive of this energy is that you have great courage, especially in the face of difficulty. So the more difficult the circumstances were that you created for yourself, the more courageous you became in facing yourself. There came a moment in you when you decided to face yourself, and that took tremendous courage. And that also brought you to the place in you where you then learned about your secret self. That's when you retired into the depths of who you were to find faith and peace, because you realized you couldn't continue going in the direction that you were going. And you began to realize that peace came from within you, and it had little to do with money or material matters, even though you had been driven very much of your life toward materiality. It was simply not satisfying you. And you realized that there would never be enough. There would never, ever, ever be enough. And that's when you had to walk away from it all and find it inside of you. And that's when you began to realize that you had to trust your intuition to lead you in the direction of true growth. That's when you had to learn how to wait. That's when you had to learn to be patient with yourself. That's when you had to learn to enjoy spending time alone, studying, meditating, and searching for the hidden wisdom and truth in life. And so that came out of your given name, Richard, which is the introverted, introspective you, who is attempting to live this happy life and this creative freedom, loving life. But yet in your heart of heart of hearts, you are this introvert, this gentle being who would just go off into a quiet place and breathe. Now, you also have the P coming in from your family name, and that is an inexpressive thinker. That's somebody who thinks a lot, but doesn't necessarily express themselves. So you may have had a very reserved father, or figures where there was introspection, quiet, loneliness, very keen mind, the ability to feel very deeply, very analytical, very secretive, And so all of those energies are also inside of you, where there's this great secretive part of you where you don't want to let anybody in. And that may have been an energy within the whole matrix of your family, expressed in varying degrees by the members of your family. Now, for yourself, as different than from the rest of your family, the energy of introspection became the great adept and teacher inside of you. It is almost as if when you finally found the truth of it being okay to withdraw from the world and to find yourself, what you found inside of you was the great adept, the one who designed this incredible life, this life of such vision and challenge. I mean, the multiple forces and foci that you permitted yourself to unfold in your single beingness. You, if you do nothing else at the end of this reading, take a deep breath and say to your soul, thank you for allowing me to be this beautiful expression of God. Because that is what the great adept in you came on this planet to express. Do you hear me? And that is very key, because the aspect of you that has allowed you to live to this age, it has been very silent and quiet in you, but it has been that willpower that has allowed you to face every vicissitude in life and not fail. You hear me? It doesn't mean that you did not have failings and you did not have experiences of failure. What it means is you had the strength to get up again. And that is the adept in you. The great energy, the great soul that is expressing as you. Now, in bringing this all to a close, the energies that are going to give you your greatest happiness as you move forward in life from this point on is allowing yourself to express your sensitivity, to express your consideration, to be the diplomat, to show concern for the detail when necessary for positive development, but not to get so caught up in the detail that you miss the big picture. You don't have to ever lose yourself in the detail anymore. That is now behind you. You have enough detail inside of you where you have a tapestry. And now you can pick and choose what aspects of you you want to express. You have that. You need to give yourself that permission. I think you already have, but if you have not yet given yourself that permission, that is something else that you must now do. Acknowledge your many gifts and give yourself permission to actualize those gifts that give you the greatest joy, the greatest comfort, the greatest sense of blessing. Because it's not this journey from this point on, the way that you have designed it. It's not meant to be hard. It's meant to be a wonderful balance of you loving you and you loving the world in equal parts. Because you've had a tendency either to love yourself and shut out the world, or love the world and shut out Richard. And this moment now, you've got to love both, love you and love the world. You do best in a very aesthetic home environment, so where the energies are balanced. Doesn't have to be a whole lot of stuff. It can be very Japanese, very Zen in its approach, but it must have an aesthetic quality of balance in it, because that will permit you to grow and thrive in energy. As you are creating balance between loving Richard and loving the world, an aesthetic environment or world is a very powerful support for that kind of learning. Now, responsibility does play a part in your life as you move on in these latter years. It's likely that there may be friends and family members that still depend on you on some level for support. And you must not feel guilty, however, if you have not been there in the past to assist them. That is not useful. What is useful is recognizing that sense of responsibility and duty that is quite strong in you can unfold and express itself effortlessly as you allow yourself to trigger the right responses between you and those that you have a sense of responsibility for. So sometimes how you serve best is to listen, and listen very carefully, and not give an answer immediately, but to think on it and go back a little later and give the answer at that time. But it is responsibility needs to shift into responsiveness. Instead of carrying this big burden of responsibility, shift it to responsiveness. Be responsive. And as you learn to be more and more and more responsive, you will be ushering in the proper level of treating others around you with responsibility and with a loving presence. One of the most important things you can offer those that you love, the ones close to you as well as the ones that you're drawing in, is balance. You need to bring a lot of balance into situations. And this balance wasn't there perhaps in your earlier years. But should you choose to marry and or have a close partner at this time of your life, the role that you will play best is that of balancing the energy between the introvert and the extrovert, the God and the human, humanity and the self, the whole and the part. That is really where you will shine, because the ability to get to that place of harmony and balance is inside of you. And that's the gift that you would bring to your partnership at this time. And if you are not bringing that gift, then simply ask your soul, because it is in you. It is already a gift that is inside of you. So you can certainly ask that it express. And then from the age of 60 on, this chart shows a great deal of material satisfaction, even though the whole world around you may be crumbling into chaotic economic times. This shows that either between now and then, or work that you have done up to this point, will give you a certain amount of material satisfaction, the ability to care for and tend the self and those that you love. That's going to come very easily to you through whatever endeavors you pursue between now and the age of 60, probably started around the age of 50. And this is an integrative period in which your experiences will allow you to provide the life that you want. And this will consist of both reflection, introspection, as well as substantial activity. You're going to learn to be in the world and yet not of it. But you're going to do it in a much more humane way than you did it when you were younger, because now you understand what it means to be a vibrant, active aspect of humanity, to be in the world and yet separate from it, because it's in the separate from it that you are growing the God inside of you. And both are required for balanced living. Retirement in the form of a reduced workload is entirely possible for you in this cycle that you're approaching. However, it is more likely that there will be some activities, practical activities, enjoyable activities, not strenuous or routinized or boring activities, but certain practical activities that will require your work and attention, and you will give it lovingly. It's not going to be something that is a burden to you. It's not work as burden, but work as joyful sharing of who I am with my world. So it's that you have passed the place of burdensome work, and you have entered the place of spiritual work. So you will be active. You're not gonna go to bed at 6 p.m. and wake up at 2:30 the following afternoon. You're gonna be much more active than that. But at the same time, you will be able to balance your activity such that you can do the things that you enjoy and you can pace yourself, because your whole life experience has been that of learning the balance of pacing yourself and doing everything from what the Buddha would call the place of centeredness. That is their gift to the world. You becoming a centered, complete energy. So there you have it, Richard. There is your reading.
That's wonderful.
Well, I am so grateful.